Doing something for the first time tonight. I'm preaching from my tablet. Could not print off my message, and so I had to email my message to my tablet. And I looked at Brother Mark, and I told him, I says, I hope I have enough battery life to where it will last. And he says, how long do you got? He says, I got about 50% left. He said, that'd be about 5 hours. And he says, hopefully you don't preach 5 hours then. So I think we would all agree with that, right? Amen? That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I've never preached 5 hours for anybody that hasn't been around too long. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Tonight we look at the Lord's Supper, and what I like to do many times, probably at least once a year or every year and a half, to go through this passage of Scripture, something similar to this passage of Scripture, to help explain what the Lord's Supper represents and help us understand why we do this. Now, usually this first Sunday or the last Sunday right before Thanksgiving, we observe the Lord's Supper. And you say, is that found in the Bible somewhere? No, that's not found specifically when we're supposed to give it. It does not specifically show it exactly where we have to do it and how many times we have to do it. But the reason why I like to do it is because usually for most people, maybe not you, but for most people, the next 6 weeks are the busiest weeks on the calendar. They usually have more between now and Christmas or now in the beginning of the year. Life is swallowed up by a whirlwind of holiday preparation and activity. Busy weeks, lots of things going on. But they hold some of the most sacred moments when it comes to our Christian faith. And they hold some of the most blessed opportunities to be able to share our faith with someone else. So before we ever get so busy and entrapped with the Black Friday sales and the Thanksgiving dinners and the New Year preparations and the Christmas Eves, and we got a lot of activities around our church. We have the Christmas banquet, the prayer partner Christmas thing. They have Christmas caroling, and they have our Christmas Eve service or Christmas cantata, and there's a New Year celebration. A lot of things going on. And then what? This could be a great time and opportunity for us to draw nigh unto God. But so often things are so busy, things become so hectic, that God is pushed right out of the schedule, and we say, I'm going to make it my New Year's resolution to know God better next year. So that's why I always love doing the Lord's Supper right before the beginning of Thanksgiving, because it seems so busy. And it's always great to take time to draw near unto the Lord and to get close with the Lord. And for me, one of the most precious times and opportunities we have is when we consider what Jesus Christ did for us. And that's what the Lord's Supper is. It's a time of remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for us and what he did when he gave his life for us. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we have the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, speaking about the Lord's Supper here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer. Ask the Lord to help us that when we enter this busy season, that we will never forget why we should be thankful for him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight. Lord, this season, this time when people allow their schedules to become so jam-packed and so busy that sometimes you become an afterthought, help us to make a commitment tonight as we gather around the Lord's Supper, and make a commitment that we put you in the center of our holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving season, that we put you first. And Lord, as we remember the things that you did for us and the things you experienced for us, Lord, I pray that we just praise you. Lord, that's all we can truly do is when we consider you and understand what you did. We have no choice but to lift you up and to praise you. Lord, I ask you speak to people's hearts tonight. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray they come to a saving knowledge of you. And Lord, for those that are believers here tonight, Lord, I pray that just once again, take a good long look at what you did for us and just praise you, Lord. And remember, we have so much to be thankful for. In Jesus' name, amen. So we come to this time, and the title of tonight's message is, This Do in Remembrance of Me. First point, it is a time of remembering. It is a time of remembering. You say, remembering what? Well, look what it says in verses 24 and 25. It says, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then in verse 25, it says, After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, we got to remember some things about Jesus Christ and what he went through. This is not something that man instituted. This is not something a preacher came up with and says, okay, let's add this onto the service so maybe we can get more people to come out. Or let's add this onto the service so that way we can have something more to do. This is something that Jesus Christ instituted. This is something that he said he wanted us to do so we would not forget him. You know what? We forget him so often. So often in our lives, we get so jam-packed busy that we do not consider Christ. He should be our focus. He should be the first point. And this is the reason why we come around this Lord's table. We come and we hold the body, the bread, and we hold the cup, which represents the body, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ, so we can remember. Say, Pastor, what do you think we need to remember? Well, the first thing I think about is it helps us remember his sufferings. It helps us remember his sufferings. At times we feel like we suffer. At times we feel like we go through such hardships and struggles and trials that no one else knows how we feel. But if we go and we examine what Jesus Christ went through for us and on our behalf, the sufferings that he went through, look at the words that are described. He uses the bread to describe his body. He uses the cup to describe his blood. These are vivid phrases to bring to our mind the suffering and pain. The elements of the Lord's Supper are calls to remind us that Jesus Christ suffered on that cross. He died for the sins of mankind. Think of some of the verses that are mentioned. As many were astonished at him, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Isaiah 53:5 says, But he was wounded. Why was he wounded? It says, For our transgression. He was bruised. For our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And you say, Pastor, why in the world are you bringing these things up? It's because Jesus says he wants you to remember this about him. He wants you to see what he did for you so you can realize how good of a God he is and how he has done so much for you. So when you face the struggles and the hardships, like we learned this morning, he is able to do everything, even exceedingly above what we can even ask or think. And he's able to help us. And he demonstrates that help as when he went through that suffering for us. Not only remember his sufferings, I believe he wants us to remember his sacrifices. Remember his sacrifices. You say, what sacrifice are you referring to? Well, you imagine Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, up in heaven. His will is done of every moment and every day. Jesus Christ came in human form. That speaks of a great sacrifice. When he left the glories of heaven to come here to redeem us, God became man. He lived and died in this world to redeem the lost. Say, where do you see God became a man? John tells us in John chapter 1:1, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this is the description, Jesus Christ is God. And then in chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He sacrificed, and when he came here, But when he came here, he did not come as some great king, and someday he will return as king. But he came as the sacrificial lamb, and this is the time we need to remember that he came, and when he came, he took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself. He became obedient, even obedient unto the death of the cross. In Matthew, it talks about how he suffered shame. In the book of John, it talks about how he suffered rejection. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about he suffered poverty. In 1 Peter, it talks about pain. And in the book of John, it talks about how he faced death. These were all sacrifices that the God of the universe did not have to face, except for the fact he loved us. And the fact that him coming to this world and giving himself was completely as a sacrifice for mankind. That was his purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. And so when we come around this Lord's Supper table and we see that God wants us to remember, Jesus himself instituted the supper as he was talking to his disciples. He says, I never want you to forget this. But how quickly do we forget it? You say, Pastor, I never forget it. I always remember. But do we live our lives like we remember it? Do we live our lives understanding the suffering he went through? Is sometimes he asks us to suffer through things. That the sacrifices that he gave up are more in comparison than the sacrifices that we would even consider giving up. So when we come around this Lord's Supper time, my goal is that we draw nigh unto him and we stay there. And even though Christmas and Thanksgiving, and even though this is a busy time of year and there's many things we like to do for our family, many things we love to do for our friends and our loved ones, many activities on the list, seems like there's something on every single day. And if there isn't something, you're looking to schedule something there, and that is just so jam-packed, let's not forget. Let's leave this place remembering and not forgetting this Christmas season, the sacrifice he made for us, the sufferings he went through us. Second thing I want you to think about, not only is it a time of remembering, it's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of rejoicing. You look at this passage of Scripture, and there's some wonderful things in here. First, you can think about in verse number 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken. What's those next two words? Anybody following along? For you. That's who it was for. You know, it was for you. He's teaching this church, and this is applicable to us as a church also. He's saying his body, Jesus Christ's body, was broken on the cross, and it was done for you. We can rejoice in his compassion. You say, Pastor, how can I rejoice in that? We can rejoice in his compassion. The compassion he had, the love he had. He saw our hurt. He saw our pain. That's what compassion refers to, is when we feel someone else's pain, when we see someone's hurt, we carry their burden, we carry their load. The Bible talks about how he saw us as sinners. He saw that we had need. His compassion, he came and met that need for us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were lost and headed to a horrible place called hell, Jesus Christ died for us. We can rejoice in that compassion. We can rejoice in the fact that he loves us and that everything that happened, he was willingly to take our sins. He didn't come for any sin of his own. He did not die for his own sin. He did not have to die for his own sin because he did not sin. The Bible says, for he have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. Here's the point, is that he came and we can rejoice in the fact he was compassionate toward us. And when we come around the Lord's Supper, this is a time of remembering, but it's a time of rejoicing. We can rejoice in his compassion. He loved us so much that he died for us. Yes, our hearts are broken when we think what Jesus Christ went through, but they're uplifted when we consider the sacrifice that was paid for us. That shows and demonstrates the love that's been given to us. You think sometimes when you get a gift from someone, and sometimes it's handmade, and you know it took that person hours upon hours upon hours of sacrificial time to make that gift for you. You know what? Sometimes your first reaction is, man, I wish they wouldn't have done that. I can't believe they went through all that just for me. And then the thought comes and says, boy, they must really care for me. They must really love me to consider me, that they have that much compassion towards me, that they would want me to have something like this. And when we consider the sufferings and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it helps us rejoice in the fact he has compassion for us. He willingly took our sins upon himself that he might deliver us from our sins and from the penalty of our sins. Thank the Lord. We can rejoice in that. And remember this morning, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You know, we can rejoice in his compassion. We can rejoice in his conquest. We can rejoice in his conquest. What do you mean? This talks about his body being broken. This talks about him giving his blood for us. Yes, it refers to that. But look what it says in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will do show forth the Lord's death till he come. He's saying you're going to remember the Lord's death. Say, why in the world would God want us to remember his death? It's because it's the great conquest that happened. When Jesus Christ came and he died on that cross, he was buried, but he didn't stay buried. It was a great conquest, a great conqueror. He rose from the grave and he lives forevermore up into heaven. And this is a great and wonderful thing, is that we can rejoice in that he's still not in the tomb, that he did not die on that cross and stayed in the tomb, but instead he is alive today and he's alive forevermore. This is a conquest in that one great defeat. He defeated hell, he defeated sin, he defeated the grave, and he has the keys to heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. That's conquest. That's when we can rejoice. And when you consider the Lord's Supper, when you come around to the Lord's Supper, it is a time of remembering him. But we can rejoice in the fact that he had great conquest. We serve a God that can do all things. And we can rejoice in that. And this is the things that we should rejoice on in every day in our lives. Not only can we rejoice in his conquest, but we can rejoice in his coming. Look what it says at the end of verse number 26. Till he come. The Bible teaches us something. It's clearly told when we observe the Lord's Supper. We should continue on doing this. We should continue to remember his death, not because of his sacrifices and sufferings only, but because we can rejoice in his conquest, and we can rejoice the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back someday. Do you know that?
Yes, sir.
The Bible teaches us that. It's clear. It tells us over and over in the scriptures. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians, John chapter 14, when he talks about going and prepare a place, he says, I will come again. He is coming back. And we can rejoice in that. As you're sitting there, you're drinking and you're eating and you're meditating on what this should mean to us and how important this should be. This is a time of rejoicing and praising the Lord and saying, I know you will be coming back. And that's what it says, that we should consider and he should show the Lord's death till he come. There is a day he is telling the world he is coming back. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to remember the body was not the end. The death was not the end. The resurrection was not all. He is someday returning for his church. Praise the Lord for that. That's something we can rejoice about. Something we should be excited about. But as we heard about this morning in our Sunday school class in the book of Zephaniah, that is something we should warn others about. Because if you are not ready for the day when Jesus Christ comes back, boy, you got a lot of things to answer for. You have a great judgment that you will face, that this world will face. And we should make sure that we're ready. So not only is it a time of remembrance only, and not only is it time just a time of rejoicing, but this is one that I think that is important that we focus in on. There's also a time of review. A time of review. Let's look here what it says in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily should be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, that word unworthily means that you're not worthy to. Say, Pastor, you mean there are certain people that should take part of the Lord's Supper and certain people that should not? According to what the Bible says, this is a pretty serious thing. Now, you know, when you come here and we have the Lord's Supper, I always give at least a 3 or 4 minute clip to help you understand how we do the Lord's Supper here. There are some churches that practice something called close communion. That means that only members that are in a good standing and good faith and good fellowship, they're the only ones that are allowed to take part of the Lord's Supper. Then there's another group of churches that will have open communion. They'll say that everyone here should take part and be involved in it. And then what we practice and what I think is what's best and biblical is something called close communion. Say, what do you mean by close? It means that after a pastor or the speaker gives an explanation that God takes this seriously and that only certain should take part in this, that it is your own personal decision whether or not you should partake in the Lord's Supper or not. So tonight when the cup comes by and when the bread comes by, it's between you and God whether or not you take it. And before you should take part of that, there's some things we should review. There's some things we should examine. Say, where do you see that in the Bible? Who are you to tell me that I should or should not take part of this? I've taken part of it all my life. Well, let's see what the Bible says here. Look what it says in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what the Bible is saying here is very simple, very direct. It says that there are those that are worthy to take part of this, and there are those who are not worthy to take part of it. Okay, so Pastor, how do I figure this out? Well, that's why I think that it's a time of review. I would probably say it's a time of evaluation, but I wanted to keep the R's going. You know, you got rejoicing, you got remembering. So to help us remember, we'll just make it a time of review, or you can use the word as a time of evaluation. So, well, what am I supposed to review? What am I supposed to evaluate? Well, the first thing I think you need to review or evaluate is, are you a Christian? You know, the Bible is referring to when Paul uses the words us and uses the words we, he is referring to believers, people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, people who know if they died today that they would go to heaven, because the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. That's who the person, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you can get that settled tonight. You can come forward and we can have somebody take the Bible and they can show you how the Word of God says that Jesus Christ loved you so much. He came to this world and he died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. And he paid your penalty and your sin debt. And if you put your faith and trust in him and repent of your sins, that you can be on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. You can know that. But if you've never been saved, Bible says that you're an unworthy candidate to take part of the Lord's Supper. It's meant to those that are believers. It's written to the church of Corinth. It's a church. What is a church? A local called out body of believers. And it's when Paul is talking about we and us in this passage of scripture, he is referring to those that are saved on the way to heaven, blood bought, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody from taking part of the Lord's Supper. I'm just making sure that you examine and review your life. Has there been a moment in time in your life when you saw yourself as a sinner? I know we all see ourselves as doing things wrong before, but that sin has a penalty. And when we saw that penalty for that sin and said, you know what, I'm going to be judged. There is a wage for sin. That wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we accepted that gift of God and put our faith and trust in him. You can do that tonight. But to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper in the right way, not unworthily, you must be a Christian. You say, Pastor, how are you going to know if I'm a Christian or not? I'm not going to know. It's not my job to know. It's my job to preach. And the idea that there might be someone here that is lost. And in a crowd this size, there's a good chance that someone's here is lost. Even someone who maybe been coming to church all their life, but just been living a lie, pretending to be a Christian. But you know deep down inside, there's something in your heart that tells you that you do not know for sure if you would die today that you would go to heaven. Second thing is not only review our salvation. And if you're a Christian, you've been saved, you only have to be saved once. God saves you the right way. You do not have to worry about it. God gives you eternal security. So I don't want you to try to convince you that you're unsaved, but I also want you to know that the Holy Spirit of God will help you with that. Review your salvation. Go back to that moment in time when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. I still remember as an 8 or 9 year old boy seeing that need I had in my life. And I knew I needed Jesus Christ. And I went forward and I had been going to church all my life. And I thought I was, in people's minds, I was a good kid. If anybody was going to go to heaven, it was me. But that night, God spoke to my heart and says, you need me. And I went forward and I asked Christ to save my heart, save me from my sins, got baptized that night. Praise the Lord for all that. And I review my salvation. And I know that, and I get that assurance in my heart that I'm on my way to heaven. And that makes me a worthy candidate for the Lord's Supper. But that's not the only thing we need to review. Let's also look at the next thing we need to review. Let's look again in verses 27 to 29. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. And now here, this is not only reviewing our salvation, but this is reviewing our sanctification. Reviewing our sanctification. Pastor, there you go with one of those big words again. Well, I just wanted to keep the S's together. Reviewing your sanctification, reviewing your salvation. But sanctification means is your walk with God. is you spiritually? That means, are you right with God? If you have known sin in your life, you have something in your heart that you know is wrong and that you need to get right with God, then I would let the cup pass by. I would let the bread pass by. Because of the fact that when you put something before God, that means that you are not in a right relationship, and that means that you would be drinking and eating the cup unworthily. What it says in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. Say, Pastor, who are you to tell me that? How in the world would you know whether or not I'm right with God? Once again, that's not for me to say. I'm not bringing some type of little meter and keeping little check marks saying, hey, you should, you can, you can't. That's not my job. That is God's job to speak to your heart. But I know that this is a serious thing. Say, where do you see it serious? Look at what it says in verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. And it says, and you go up to verse number 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. What the Bible is saying here, that there were those who took part of the Lord's Supper unworthily, and the Lord judged them. And he says that there are many, you think about it, it says there are many that are weak. What does that mean? They're sick because they took part of the Lord's Supper unworthily. And even when it says that there are many that sleep, and that's not referring to the fact that they got a good rest because they got a good meal. That's referring to death, the word sleep. There are many that, what the Bible says, there are some that are dead because they took of it unworthily. Verse 32, it says, there are some that are chastened of God because they took of the bread and the drink unworthily. Say, Pastor, I've never heard these things before. That's found right there in the first century church is written to, that this is something that is serious and this is something that we should not take lightly. God instituted this. Jesus Christ instituted this with his disciples. He wants us to remember his death. He wants us to rejoice over his compassion and rejoice in his conquest. He wants us to rejoice in the fact he's coming. But before we can do that, we must review ourselves. We must make sure that we are Christians and that we are saved, and we must make sure that we are right with God. Because if not, the Bible says at the end of verse 29, not discerning the Lord's body. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, what that is saying is that there are people who see what the Lord did, and they see the Lord's Supper, and they understand what it means, and they still take of it unworthily. They're not discerning. They're not making a good choice. They're not being wise in the choice that they're making. They're seeing the Lord's body. They're seeing the Lord's sacrifice. But for the most part, all they're doing is mocking it. All they're doing is treating Jesus and jeering at Jesus and jeering at his sacrifice like those men that were at the cross, mocking Jesus, saying, hey, why don't you come down? You saved others. Why don't you save yourself? That's when someone sees what's going on at the Lord's Supper. And that's what it means they're not discerning it, is they understand the sacrifice that was made. They know what God wants and what God desires. But instead, they say, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want anyway. Now, that's a very sobering thought, but this is a very sobering time period. This is one of the greatest opportunities where you can draw nigh to God. What we do here is we're going to have an invitation in a second, and then we're going to let, if anybody wants to leave, they're welcome to. Everyone is welcome to stay. Even if you don't plan on taking part of the Lord's Supper, you can stay and just let the plate and the cups pass right by you. That's no problem. But in just a few minutes, we're going to have a time of invitation. And during that time of invitation, I encourage you to do something. Take that time to review. Take that time to review. Go back and praise the Lord for the day you were saved. But also, look into your heart. See if there's something that is stopping you from your fellowship with God. The Bible says that if we would examine ourselves, or if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What does that mean? If we would be right with God, God would not have to judge us. God would not have to chasten us for our sins. God would not have to bring things into our lives to make us aware of our sins if we would learn to judge ourselves. If we would just discern the body of Christ, see the sacrifice, and be willing to pay the sacrifice ourselves. Now, Pastor, it makes it sound like you don't want us to take part of this. If that was the case, we would never have it. We don't have any. We have plenty of juice. We have plenty of bread. We have plenty more than for the people that are here. It's not that at all. But I just want us to take it serious and look at the warning that God gave us. But this is a time where people will take a good, long, hard look at their life with God and say, am I right with God? And if I'm not right with God, then I can get right with God. Even if at this moment in time, you say there is something in my heart, Pastor, there is something in my life that is not right, I just need to let the cup pass by. You don't have to let it pass by. You say, Pastor, you just told me that if I'm wrong with God, the encouragement is for you to get right with God. We serve a God that says if we confess our sins, he's willing to forgive us of those. He is willing to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and he is just. And so if you have something in your heart that has taken the place of God, or you have a sin in your life that you have not confessed, the moment that you confess that to God, he says he will forgive you for that sin. He will cleanse you from that sin. If you are sincere in the fact that you confess it and you forsake it, not wanting to do it again, you can be right with God. And you can take part of the Lord's Supper. That's the reason why we do it. If I didn't care, if I didn't really matter to me, or if I didn't think it was important, I wouldn't waste the whole message on it. Every couple years we talk about this and we go through this passage of Scripture. We change the words in the outline a little bit. We change some of the verses in Scripture. But it's the same thought. It's the same idea. This is a time and a moment where you take time to remember what God did. You rejoice in what God did. But you review your life. And you say, Lord, I want to be right with you. I see the sacrifice. I see the suffering. And I rejoice in the fact that you had victory. And Lord, I want to have victory too. I want to be right with you. And as we begin to have this wonderful Christmas, Thanksgiving season that everything seems so busy with, let us take time to focus for just a short period of time. And during that time, we hear the piano play when they're passing out the things. We don't sing songs. We don't have moving around except for the people passing out things. Say, Pastor, why are you doing that? It's because it's supposed to be a time of remembrance. A time of rejoicing and a time of review. And I know not everybody's going to understand this. I know not everybody's going to get the whole message. But I think most of us get this, is that if we want to pursue after God, and if we want to draw near to God, in these quiet moments when we recognize what Jesus Christ did for us, these are the times where we make decisions that our sin is not that important to us compared to what Jesus Christ did for us. And that we should be willing to give it all up in order to be right with him. Not just so we can have a cup and so we can have some bread, but so we can remember the body of Jesus Christ and how it was broken for us and how that blood was shed for you. And we can celebrate and rejoice together around this Lord's Supper. It still amazes me, the night before he was going to die, he institutes this supper as a way of rejoicing and celebration for the death he was going to die just a few hours later. Praise the Lord that he was willing to experience all that for us. If you're here this evening and you're not sure if you're saved, let me encourage you. In just a few minutes, we're going to have what's called an invitation. What happens is that the piano plays, we stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, and the brother Jim sings, and people come forward. If God's spoken in their heart and they pray around the altar, they ask God to whatever needs they have, it might be a time of rejoicing, it might be a time of reviewing, it might be a time of remembering, whatever it is, it's a personal time between you and God. But if you're not sure if you're saved, what we also have is people down here who would be more than glad to take a Bible and show you how you can become a Christian. So that way you can take part of the Lord's Supper with us too. How you can see that what Jesus Christ did for us in this world. He came to this world for us. Don't leave this place without knowing for sure if you die today that you go to heaven. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with our heads bowed and the eyes closed. This is our invitation.